Now, the pastor says the next couple of nights will be critical. I think they'll be glorious if Brother John Gabbert's here. Praise God. Isn't it something how God works in mysterious ways and ways that we don't understand and don't know him? And just how God does things. Praise the Lord. I'm like a piece of bologna here. I'm sandwiched between two great men. Three really, and then Tuesday night, and then Friday night, and Saturday night. Here I am in the middle of those three great men. My Lord, have mercy. You better pray. I mean, shake a loose here tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you for everything, and continue to pray for us. As Brother Ralph said, we look like got to return back home. It's 3 hours down below me. Brother Will Guthrie, a precious friend of mine for many, many years, pastored a church down there, and it was kindly we couldn't tell which would go first, him or my brother-in-law. And of course, my brother-in-law preceded him by leaving and passing on Saturday morning. And then we got the news yesterday, our oldest son, they got a hold of him, and he called us and told us Brother Guthrie was gone. I called the family, and they said, Brother Neil, would you please, we know you're in revival, but would you please come and preach? And I talked to his daughter, and she said, Brother Neil, we want you to come preach my daddy's funeral. And I told her, I said, the Lord being my helper, we'll come and be a part of the service and preach the funeral for you. So would you pray for us over that situation, over that? God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He never makes a mistake. I told some of the brethren tonight about last night's message. I just looked over at Brother David, and I told him, and I said, and after I told him, I wish I hadn't told him. I wish I hadn't said nothing about it. I wish I just kind of kept that in the bag and not spoke quite so fast. I looked over there and I said, you know, I said, God worked a miracle in Jezebel's town. I said, I wish I hadn't said nothing about that. I'd use that for a text sometime and still might. Praise God. God can do it wherever he wants to, whenever he gets ready. Ever how he desires, and no man can stay his hand. Hallelujah. Well, let me just say this before we preach. I'm seeing several others come in tonight that hadn't been here or wasn't here last night. We appreciate you coming. God bless your heart and all of you regular that was here last night. Back tonight, we're glad you are here. Last night, I talked to Brother Tom and Sister Brenda when I come into church, and I told them, I said, you and people like you are the reason that I leave my bed and my house and go across this country as well as other countries and preach this gospel and stay away from home as much as I love my home. And you might not think I do, but I do. I love my home. Everybody, I guess, loves their home. I know we do. But to go across this country and sleep on other beds and other places and change. But people like Brother Tom and Sister Brenda, when they get saved and saw them when they accepted the Lord and come back and here they are and back, that makes me, I told them, I said, that makes me feel like going and keep on going and preaching the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, look with us tonight in God's divine library, if you would, in 1 Kings. We're back in 1 Kings tonight. We're just going over a couple of chapters from where we were last night. Last night we was in 17. Tonight we're in 19. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings. We're still talking about Elijah. And want to talk a little bit more about him tonight. If the Lord will help us and you will help us, we sure would appreciate it. It's all right with me if you nod your head forward a little bit every now and then, not take a nap, but just kind of do that every now and then. You don't have to walk the back of the pews. If you do, I'll liable to get excited and drop this mic and take off to running. But if you'll just kind of nod at me or wave at me every now and then, just something or other, I'll appreciate it. Praise the Lord. Chapter 19, 1 Kings, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the God so to do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and it came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there, or his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than any of my fathers." And as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Would you stretch forth your right hand tonight and ask God to help us and anoint us in the holy name of Jesus Christ? Would you touch and help us tonight and anoint us with fresh oil and anoint us with the spirit and power and presence of God? We need your anointing. Without it, we can do nothing. Lord, surely thou hast said, and rightly thou hast said, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, Lord, we need your anointing. Would you anoint us now that by the anointing, Lord, that the yoke may be destroyed and that souls may be liberated and hearts may be touched and lives may be changed, and all the good that's done will get none other the glory but God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, we ask it and give the glory to you in Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Our text is found tonight in verse number 4, please. And it is these four words that we use that Elijah said. It is enough. And I'd like to preach tonight on when you've had enough. Praise God. It seemed to me like the Lord dealt with me that there's people, and I told you this last night, and I'm back again tonight to kind of run this same trail to somewhat, that there's people here tonight that you've been beaten spiritually. You've been bruised. You're going through things. You've been going through things. You're in battles and you're in struggles and you're in turmoils. And you've looked like just every way you turn, there's trouble on every side. It seems like that you can't hardly hold your head up. You can't hardly get up. I'm reminded that when I was a boy, just was coming into high school. I just my first year of high school. A boy in our class wasn't a big boy, and he certainly wasn't a mean person or nothing like that, or aggressive person. But he was just a good mild tempered person. But there was a big bully a couple of grades up ahead of us that just bullied everybody in that school about it. And I don't know why, but for some reason or another, he chose this boy above everybody else. We call it dogged him. He hounded him. He tormented him. He aggravated him. He bullied him. Oh, just every time that they could get together, this guy was pushing on this boy and always doing something to him. And one day, and this old boy had whooped about everything. In fact, one day there was three boys jumped on him. He whipped all three of them. Everybody was scared of him. "Was you scared of him, Brother Neil?" "Well, I'm not crazy. Sure I'm scared of him." But this fella finally said one day, and that old boy kept pushing him. He called his name and he said, "All right, Carl, I've had enough. I don't want no more. Back off and leave me alone. I've had enough. Well, this guy knew that he had took care of three boys at one time, and everybody knew that. And everybody knew that he was the kingpin in the hierarchy of the whole school. And this boy felt his Wheaties. He started on this guy, and they went at it, and they fought, and they fought. But after a while, that fellow that said he had enough, he would not quit. Some of the boys begged him to quit, to stop. He said, I'm not stopping. And before it was over with, he put a whipping on that big old guy like he had, and I doubt he's ever had enough. But he let him know he'd had enough. When you have enough, that is, you're exceedingly full. You don't want no more. When you've had enough, it means it's really too much. When you've had enough, it really means that it's very much more than you really wanted. When you've had enough, it means that it's sufficient. You don't want no more. It means that to cast all together as a bound or abundance of a rain, or it's a plenty. I don't want no more. That's all that I want. Now, to get our text tonight in the setting of our text, let's look at chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the victories that the prophet of God has come through. First of all, we find that he has declares a drought. He stands up and says it's not going to rain. And when he says that, God zips up the heavens and there's no more rain. And a draft sets in. We find, as I preached last night about the scraping of the barrel, that he blesses the widow woman over at Zarephath. He blesses her meal and her oil, and it does not run out for the whole time of the draft. We find that he resurrects a widow's son. My Lord, what a man. We find that he calls fire down from heaven at his prayer request. And I know in the English part is 67 words, but in the Hebrew, if you go back to the Hebrew, there's only 41 words that he prayed in Hebrew, and fire fell from heaven. Now, you're talking about a prayer warrior. That's what you call a prayer warrior. Amen. Sometimes we pray an hour and a half and still don't get a sprinkle. And he prays 41 words in Hebrew, and there's a sound of abundance of rain. Praise God. Then we find that he prays, and when he prays for this rain, when he prays, the rain comes, there's a rainstorm. Then we find that he girds up his loins and outruns Ahab's chariots, and he runs 17 miles. The Spirit of the Lord come upon him. And he runs from Mount Carmel down to Jezreel. You're talking about a running machine. This is a running machine. Hallelujah. He's run and he's run and he goes down to Jezreel. He's killed 400, or had him killed 450 of the prophets of Baal and had him slain. What a man he is. But we find in our setting tonight and in it that he's done all these things. Yet in chapter 19... he gets the word that Jezebel's going to have him killed. That Jezebel's going to do to him as he's done to the prophets tomorrow. And he goes and he leaves and he runs again. And he runs away and he gets over 50 miles away. My Lord, have mercy. He's still a-running and he runs 50 miles and sits down on a juniper tree. And he sits down and he goes to praying and he's praying to the Lord. And he's saying, God, take me. Do for me like you've done for the prophets before. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to give it up. I'm ready to cash in. I'm ready to give everything up. And as he's praying this, he says, Lord, it is enough. I'm full. I'm tired. I'm worn. I'm weary. I'm fearful. I'm give out. I'm exhausted. There's nothing left for me, Lord, to do. Would you help me just a little while? But as I said last night, when we're down to nothing, God's up to something.
something. Hallelujah. And when it seems like you're in a failure, get ready and look to God, and God's able to lift you up and bring you out and deliver you again and put you back with joy and with a shout. Hallelujah. Oh, listen tonight. He cries out to God and said, it is enough. I'm exceedingly full of all that I've done. He's like Paul. He seems to feel that he stood alone. No man has stood with him. He's been in the silence to himself. No one has been his comrade. No one has been his buddy. No one has stood beside him. But oh, listen. There's a God that's not through with him yet. There's a God that still wants to do something for him. There's a God that still wants to perform a miracle. No doubt. Have you been there? I'm asking you, have you been there that you felt like, God, it's enough?
Well, you ought to try it sometime. It's not too pleasant a place to be. It's not the best situation to be in. But God knows where you are, my child. He knows the situation that you're in. Praise the Lord. Although Elijah says it's enough. I'm through. I'm finished. I'm full. I'm casting in the towel. I'm throwing in the towel. It's enough, Lord. Take me on the glory. Get me out of here. I don't want to fall in the hands of my enemy. I don't want Jezebel to have the honor and the glory to saying that she killed a man of God. And here he is. And I've read to you, and there were six miracles that I read to you tonight in chapter 17 and 18. Are preceding this 19th chapter, what God has done. The great man. Things, isn't it something how sometimes we can be so high and just a little while we can be so low, and sometimes when we feel like everything's going good and then all of a sudden a nosedive and we'll say, I just can't take no more. I'm reminded of my little grandson when he first started the kindergarten course. He's 13 now, but when he first went to kindergarten and he got to kindergarten, and about 3 or 4 days into kindergarten, all of a sudden he stood up in the classroom and he hollered, call my daddy, call my daddy. I can't take no more. Oh boy, he didn't know what was ahead. Hallelujah. I just can't take any more. It's enough. I've had all I can stand. I've got all that I can handle. I can't go any further. I can't do any more. Praise God. But I'm telling you tonight, God's able to cause you to abound and to rise up out of your trouble and bring deliverance unto you. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. When you've had enough, when you've decided that I'm going to do something different, I'm going to change. I'm not going to lay down and roll over and submit to my problems and to the situations and to the devil. I'm going to do something about it. I'm reminded, and some has asked me, different ones has asked me to tell it, so I'll just tell it so everybody can hear it. As you well know, part of the situations that I've been through, and I appreciate Brother Ralph and Sister Doris taking their time and you all praying so much for me when I went through what I went through. And I appreciate so much you and your prayers and your support. Cards from up in this area come. People sent money to help us pay on our hospital bill and our doctor bill and just various things that happen. We thank you so much. People called, though they wouldn't let me answer or talk on the phone, yet my family would talk, and they'd always take down the number and they'd come on the name, and they'd come in and they'd say, so and so and so and so's call, so and so from Richland, so and so from the Richlands area, this one and that one, and other places, Oklahoma and from Panama and different parts in Mexico, just different countries. People called and said, tell him that we are praying. And I'm reminded that night, that day when I went into that doctor, that cardiologist, and what I hadn't told Sister Bridges when I was out in the yard, I'm mowing the lawn. I had a place about 10 by 20 that I need to finish with the push mower that I couldn't get the riding lawn mower to. And I went to pushing that lawn mower, and as I pushed it, my heart hit such a hard stroke until I fell over on the ground. And I got up and laid on the bank over there for a little bit, and then finally I got ease and I got up and started. Only had a few more strokes to go to finish that piece that I wanted to cut. And in doing so, I fell again. My heart went kalooped on me again, and I fell again and fell over the lawnmower that time. So I just left the lawnmower and eased over and laid down. And finally, I got ease enough. I went in the house and got in a chair and sat there and kind of got my breath back. And Sister Joanne had been after me to go to the doctor, and finally I committed to go to the doctor after the camp meeting. And I told her, I said, if I'll make it through the camp meeting, I'll go. I won't go during this camp meeting. And I went through the camp meeting and come out of the camp meeting and went home and went to the doctor. And the doctor, the cardiologist, checked me and run a heart cath on me. And he said, you need to be in surgery right now. You need to be there right this minute. Well, they couldn't get me in the room. The operating rooms were occupied, and they were working, so they couldn't get me in. And so they scheduled me for the first thing the next morning, and the cardiologist told me, said, all we want you to do is just breathe. Don't quit breathing. Just keep breathing. Don't get off the bed. Don't go to the restroom. Don't do nothing. Just keep breathing till we can get to you, we can get the operating room. Well, Brother Ralph and Sister Doris come, and all of us, I was so glad to see them. A lot of people were there, and they wouldn't let them come in. And I understand that. I know that. I know that you're not supposed to disturb somebody like that. But when I heard that Brother Ralph and Sister Doris was there, and Joanne heard, we told them, said, oh, they got to come in. And there was a few that did let come in, and they visited us and had prayer with us. And the doctor told Sister Joanne, the surgeon said, it looks like we're not going to be able to operate on him. He's in such bad shape that we can't operate on him. And Joanne said, I'm telling you, he's not a dying. She come back in there and she looked at me. She said, the doctors might be saying that you can't make it, but I'm telling you, I'm not letting you die. You're not going to die. I don't care what they're saying. You are not going to die. I refuse to let you die. They took me down to the operating room, and the doctor said, we'll be back and tell you what we can do. If we can, we'll do surgery. If we can't, we'll have to go to other means. But anyway, the doctor come back and told her, or they got a word that we're going to try and we're going to go through. And so they did. And God was gracious and spared me, as you know, and let me live and brought me out of the surgical operation and brought me back. And then the wires broke in my chest, and they had to open me back up and go back in and take the wires loose. Of course, when I think it was later when I was up here. In fact, I'm sure that I got to feeling bad and got to having such trouble. And one night, a couple of days, I just went. I knew what it was. And finally, I told Sister Joanne, I said, honey, I hate to tell you, but my heart's gone again. And so they sent me back home, or I went back home and closed out the meeting. And sure enough, went back in and done two more stents, and then went back in and done another stent. And it seemed like every way I turned, a hemorrhage. I went to hemorrhaging, and I was off preaching, and I went to hemorrhaging, and I drove in and went to and called the doctor, and they put me in the hospital, and then I went to hemorrhaging again and back in the hospital again, and it was back and forth and back and forth, and I'd canceled more revivals than I've ever canceled in my entire ministry. I felt defeated. I felt like I was constantly in some kind of serious trouble with my heart and with my blood circulation and with different things that were going on. And it seemed like when time come to go to for the Christmas deal, I really wasn't able. My wife knew I wasn't able, and I told her, I said, honey, if you don't go to Panama and do the Christmas thing, you and Sister Brenda Carlton, then I'll go, because
because we don't want to let those people down. Those little children are looking for those toys, and those pastors are expecting their Christmas things. And if they can't get them, they can't have Christmas. And if you and Brenda won't go, I'll go myself. And she said, no, stay, and I'll go. So she went and left me at home. And I promised her that I'd try to behave myself. And I was a little bit. And I stayed at home. And she come back and still got worse and looked like every day it was a downhill drag. And finally, that Friday night, sitting at the table there at the house, she on my right side, her right side at the table, and me at the end of the table, sitting there, we were fixing to have our night meal. And as we sat there, all of a sudden it seemed as some big man with a big maul or big fist hit me in the chest, the hardest I'd ever been hit. It locked the breath out of me. My hand began to twist and turn, and I began to draw on my left side, and my hand turned purple, and I felt myself drawing, my face a drawing, and my breath was being cut off, and I couldn't breathe, and I knew this was it. So I got up and eased away from the table and went over, because I didn't want to fall in front of her and die in front of her. And I got over there and bent over the cabinet. And as I was bending over, I began to throw up in the trash can. And she jumped and turned around and grabbed me and threw me in the chair. And she said, I'm calling 911. I'm calling for the ambulance. And I said, no, you can't call ambulance. I do not want no ambulance. She said, well, I'm calling the children to come. I said, I don't want the children. And she said, but honey, you've got to have help. I said, I don't want no more help. I've had enough. It's enough. I've suffered, and I've been through so much. I don't want no more, Brother Jimmy. I said, it's enough. She said, please let me call somebody. I said, no. Nobody comes. Nobody. No doctor, no hospital, nobody. I've had enough. Praise God. Oh, there I lay. And finally our daughter called, and Joanne whispered to her and said, Daddy's having a heart attack. And so Jenny called Johnny, and Johnny come, and of course the children come. And for 7.5 hours I battled and I struggled. For 7.5 hours I went through pain. Like you couldn't imagine until you've gone there. I've had kidney stones, but this was worse than my kidney stones. I've had open heart surgery, but this is worse than open heart surgery. I suffered, Sister Joanne said, and it looked like the very veins in my face would burst out of my face. Looked like my neck veins would burst. My hand veins would burst. I sweated. I cried. Tears run down my face. And I said, oh God, please come on and take me home. Lord, I've had enough. Great God, have mercy. I don't want no more. I've had all that I want. Great Lord, have mercy. But could I tell you, somewhere or another, during the night, I don't know, somewhere or another, on in the wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden I reared back and I quit breathing. My eyes rolled back in my head and my mouth fell open, and there was no more breath. And my sister-in-law, that's a nurse, was sitting there beside me reading Psalms 119, and she got to verse 17 and 119, and the psalmist said, deal bountifully with thy servant, O Lord, and I shall live and keep thy word. And I'd keep quoting that over and over. Deal bountifully with thy servant, O Lord, I shall live and keep thy word. Hallelujah. Until I finally went out, and she reached over and felt for my pulse and felt for my pulse in my neck and said, he's gone. I heard my oldest son standing at my feet, and before this, Joanne had told me, said, honey, I know that I told you that I wouldn't let you go, but I can't stand to see you suffer no more. You suffered and you suffered. And she said, honey, I'm going to let you go. I looked at the children and I told them, I said, your mama won't let me go. I'm wanting to go. What was it? I'd had enough. Praise God. And I said, but your mama won't let me go. And she said, honey, I I'm going to let you go. You go ahead and go. And when you get there, I stand by the river of life, and I'll be there after a while, and we'll sit down by the river of life and put our feet in the cool waters of the river of life. We'll be together forevermore. I'm going to let you go. In a few minutes, I left. Hallelujah. And I was gone, and I began to rise up from that chair that I was laying in, and I saw my son standing there crying. I heard my sister-in-law say, "He's gone." I seen my wife as she patted my arm and said, "Darling, I love you." And my grandson Wade, that's been so sweet a boy to me, said, "Papa, I love you, and we're letting you go." And all of my children said, "Daddy, we love you, but go ahead and go if that's what you want to do." And I send it up, and as I begin to send up, and I went higher and higher, and all of a sudden, way up yonder somewhere in the great heavenly atmosphere, things begin to get brighter and brighter and brighter. I saw all the walls of jasper. I got to the gate of pearl. It was one pearl, and the gate was open. And I come to the gate, and about from here to this pulpit, there stood that old Indian man, Leon Buzzard, standing there with white garments on, every teeth in his head, and he'd had his teeth pulled when he was here, and all of his teeth was in his mouth, and he was standing just inside the gate. And when I got there, he looked at me, and if you ever was around him, you know his major thing was "Sweet Lamb of God." Well, when I got there and looked at him, he smiled, every tooth in his mouth, and he said, "Sweet Lamb of God." Hallelujah, like I'd never heard him say it before. And he began to sing, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I began to descend back down and come back down. And I come back into this body, hallelujah. I come back and saw my house. I saw the place that I lived. I saw the house, and I come back, and I saw myself, and I entered back into my body. And I raised up joy and said, and I looked around wild-eyed and said, "Where am I?" She said, "Honey, you're still with us. My Lord, have mercy. When you've had enough, hallelujah, I'm serving notice on the devil tonight. There's some people here in this church house. You've had enough. Why don't you rise up tonight and say, by the help and grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the living God, I've had enough. I'm getting up. I'm coming out of this."
The Holy Ghost began to speak on Sister Joanne, or through Sister Joanne. And the interpretation come to me. And here it was. And he said, "Your family's willing to give you up. Your family's willing to turn you loose. Your wife is willing to let you go. But I'm going to raise you back up and put you back in the ministry. And let you go back to preaching." Hallelujah. And so, you think within yourself, "Man, that's just me. I just want to live. I want to be here with the family." And let's tell you a cold fact. I like to preach. I know I can't do it, but I like to. I try. And I just said, that's me. And the devil said, "No," I said, "that's just you." I said, that ain't said. You just think you interpret it. You just think that's the way it is. That's because you want to think. That's not what it really is. So somewhere 7:30, maybe thereabout. 7:30 thereabout, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Tell Joanne to go call Brother John Galbert. He's a praying. And ask him just this one question, one phase. How goes it?" That's all. How goes it? Joanne went in and called, got Sister Galbert, and told her, and she said, "Yes," said, "John's not here. He's over, I believe, at his office or somewhere."
and said, he knows about it. And Brother Ralph Stone called him and told him, said, if we don't get a hold of God, Brother Neil's gone. And so Joanne called again and got a hold of Brother John over at his office. And when he answered the phone, she spoke to him. He wasn't speaking in tongues. And he said, thus saith God, he shall live and not die. I don't see death, but I see life. When she said, Neil wants to know how it goes. It said, tell him that I see death and not life. He's going to live and not die. She said, would you tell him that? Said, she's afraid, you know, if she told, I'd just, he said, sure. And so she brought the phone in there and laid it down beside my ear and said, listen. And I said, Brother John. He said, he wasn't speaking in tongues. And little bitty said, Brother Neil. He said, you'll live and not die, thus saith God. You're going to live. I'm telling you, folks, I'm alive.
Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When you've had enough. Oh!
Where's my reader? Where's my reader? Would you read for me, please? Praise God. Psalms 42 and 5. Praise God. There he goes. Hallelujah. I thought I had him fixed. I almost had him.
Read for me Psalm 42 and 5. When you've had enough, Elijah says, I've had enough. Yeah, you might have, but God hadn't. You might be ready to throw in the towel, but God's not ready for you to throw in the towel. You might be ready to say that's it, but God ain't ready to say that's it. You might say, well, I can't go no more. God's fixing to say, you're going to go on anyway. In spite of it all, you're going on anyway.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When you've had enough. I'd like to challenge some people tonight to rise up from where you are and stand up on your feet and square your shoulders back and say, to the devil, I've had enough, and to your troubles, I've had enough. By the help and grace of God, I'm coming out of here.
Read for me Psalms 42 and 5.
Why?
Why? Question. Why?
Why art thou cast down, O my soul?
What's your problem? What's the matter, soul? What's the situation? I'm asking you the question, why? Why are you cast down? Why do you feel this way? What's your problem? What's your care? What's the need? What is it? Hallelujah. What's happening? I'll tell you what, you've had enough.
Another question. Why?
And why?
Art thou disquieted in me?
Question number two. Why are you such in situation as me? Read on.
Hope thou.
Oh, wait a minute. Hope steps in amidst it all. When it seems like there's no way, he maketh a way. He opens up streams in the deserts. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm come here tonight to bring somebody some hope, to tell you in your failures and in your troubles and in your trials, there's still hope for you. Hallelujah. How the devil said there ain't no way. How the devil has said you can't do it. How the flesh has said it's all over. How old self has said throw in the towel. But I'm telling you tonight, there's still hope. Hallelujah. I feel hope for somebody here tonight. How that rise up and come out. Hey, I said, there's hope here for somebody. Hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You don't see it. If you did, it wouldn't be hope. But because we hope, it's like faith. It makes us move toward God. It makes us have confidence in God. It makes us rise up in our troubles. Yeah. It makes us stand up when we've had all we can take. Hallelujah. Hope. Hallelujah.
Hope thou in God.
Oh, hallelujah. Put your trust in Him. Believe on Him. Hope. Hallelujah. Hope thou in God. God, I know that You're able. God, I know that You can do it.
For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance.
In the midst of my dryness, in the midst of my downcast, in the midst of everything else, I think I'll just still praise Him anyway. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to go ahead and worship God. Hallelujah. There's two times to praise Him, when you feel like it and when you don't. And it's really better to praise Him when you don't feel like it than it does when you do feel like it. Because everything's going good and everything's all right, and you can praise Him then. But let me tell you, when your family's in trouble, when you're in trouble, when everything's going backward, just go ahead and give Him the praise and worship it and glorify and magnify it. For He inhabited the praise of Israel. And Paul said to the church at Galatia, "For ye are the Israel of God." Hallelujah. I think I'll just go ahead and praise Him anyway.
Yes.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
In spite of it all. Hallelujah. Brother Don Richardson, I've sure been praying for you, my friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I know you've been going through some things, but I'm glad to see you standing up back there. Hallelujah. Now we walk by faith and not by sight. I think I'll just take a step anyway. I think I'll walk on out anyway. I know I ain't doing too good physically, but I think I'll walk anyway. I seen a man one night start to walking, and he was walking with a limp leg. Hallelujah. And I reckon he got to walking a little faster. And I reckon he got to going a little faster. Next thing you know, he was running all over the place and never had no more trouble. Hallelujah. Hope now in God. I believe I'll praise Him. I believe I'll just go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For who He is, for what He is, and for what He's done, I think I'll just go ahead and praise Him. I've had enough of mourning. I've had enough of crying. I've had enough of sobbing. I've had enough of surrender. I think I'll stand up anyway.
Read on for me, Brother Philip. Hope down and praise.
For I shall yet praise Him for the help of
His countenance. Wait a minute. That word yet. Nevertheless. In spite of it all.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Brother Bob. In spite of it all.
Amen. Yes, sir.
In spite of the situation. I'm going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. In spite of it all, I'm going to praise Him.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. In spite of everything I'm going through, I'm going to give Him the glory. Hallelujah. In spite of the situation, hallelujah, yet I will praise Him. In spite of my disquieted soul, in spite of my downcast spirit, in spite of all that is going on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Elijah, if you've had enough, why don't you get up and go to giving God the glory? Why don't you get up and go to praising Him? For He inhabited the praises of Israel. Hallelujah. I don't know why altogether, but I know that it honors Him. And I know that He comes when people go to praising and a worshiping and a glorifying and a magnifying Him. Hey, 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 yeah. I will.
Yet I will praise Him
for the help of His countenance.
Help of His presence.
Yes, sir.
I started praising Him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon me. All of a sudden, I found out my trials wasn't bigger than me. All of a sudden, I found out my situation was like an anthill, and I was a giant towering over them. All of a sudden, I found the presence of the Lord, His countenance, that was there, and He began to strengthen me and build me up and make me what I am. How that I could stand up and look down on my situations. Hallelujah, as it was when I was going to preach Brother Kirk Powers' church dedication, and I was in Allentown pastoring, and I mean, my nose had been to the grindstone, and it had been dark down there for several days, especially on my side. And I got to Atlanta where I had to catch my plane, and I got on a snowy, dismal day, cold, rough, windy, and real, extremely cloudy. And the
pilot took off, and of course us in the plane, and went out and climbed up and went into the clouds, and you couldn't see the end of the plane wing, and was climbing and climbing. I was sitting there looking out, thinking about my problems and my situation and how dark it looked in my own spiritual self and in the situation. And all of a sudden we broke through the clouds and come up, and here it was. We got up and looked down, and as I looked down on the clouds, I looked down, and it just looked like just billows and billows and billows of white snow or of cotton. And there it was, and the sun was shining. And I looked and I said, "My Lord, the suns are shining up here." And the Spirit of the Lord at 400 and something miles an hour at 29,000 feet had just come right into that airplane and got right into my life and said, "Son, I've been shining up here all the time. Your problem is you've been living too low." Hallelujah. Down yonder it's cloudy, but up here the sun is always shining. And when I hit a Dulles airport, hallelujah, I was flying high. Hallelujah. I mean, the sun was a shining. Oh, I praise Him for the help of Thy countless God. I feel like you're going to help somebody here tonight. You're going to help somebody here. Somebody's going to rejoice in you.
Hallelujah.
Read for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
My soul is cast down within me.
Oh, now he claims God. He acknowledges God. He recognizes God. And he calls on God. And I believe I'm right. That's a big O.
Yes, sir. Capital O.
Oh my God, brother.
Yes, sir.
Kevin. Oh, my God, when is this going to end? Oh, my God, when is this going to be over? Oh, my God, what a situation. Oh, my, but I tell you what, in spite of it all, I think I'll just go to church and I'll smile at people. And when it comes time to sing, I'll sing in the choir. And if I can't do nothing else, I'll wave at them. My throat got so bad I couldn't preach. Couldn't take up prayer requests. Now I was a pastor. I couldn't go to the hospital to pray for somebody. I'd have to hold my head up because I had a dive of ticklum in the back of my throat about that big. And if I dropped my head down, even to eat, it would pop out and go to choking me. And I had to hold my head up to eat. And I took a little styrofoam cup with me to spit my saliva in when I was going to the hospital because even if I swallowed, it'd break it. And the devil said, And I'd always sung with the choir. I mean, when I preached, I'd sing with them. I'd always with the choir. And the devil said, "What you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to the choir." "Well, you can't sing."
Yeah.
I told him, I said, "Children, I might can't sing, but y'all sing and I'm going to wave at you."
Yeah.
And there's three or four services there. We didn't even have no preaching. And when we had scheduled to preach, I'd just get to waving at them. And they'd get to shouting. And we'd get to shouting. Hallelujah. Oh, read for me. Praise God.
"Therefore will I remember thee."
In all of this, Lord, I'm still going to remember you. I'm not going to forget you, God.
"From the land of Jordan."
Ooh, well beyond Jordan.
"And of the Hermonites."
Uh-huh.
"From the hill Mizar."
Oh, yes.
"Deep calleth unto deep."
Hey, I hear something here now. I hear some deep stuff calling. I hear the deep speaking to the deep. Praise God. Isn't it something that the deep talks? Hallelujah. How about the deep calls over to the deep?
"Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout."
Hey, when the water's going to run into deep, goes hollering to the deep. Watch out. Here it comes. Here it comes. God's a moving. God's a going to do something. When you've had enough. Thank you, Brother Philip. When you've had enough, the deep's going to call out to the deep and says, "Here comes a flood." You've had enough. Stand with us. Would you come, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to ask you tonight, have you had enough?
Hallelujah.
Micah says it this way. He said, "When I fall, rejoice not over me, mine enemy. For I shall arise." Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, somebody needs to stand up. The little boys. Daddy, the little boy. The little boy's daddy was a preacher. And the little boy and his dad was riding along. And the little boy was kind of
rambunctious and cutting up in the car. And the daddy said to him, "Pipe down, quiet down." Finally said to him, he said, "Son, sat down." Little boy knew he meant it. He sat down. Sat there a little bit. He said, "Dad." He said, "Yes, son." He said, "I might be sitting down in my body, but I'm standing up in my spirit." Hallelujah. But you know what? There's some of you tonight that's standing up in your body, but you're sitting down in your spirit. Now, it's good that you're standing up in your body, but why don't you stand up in your spirit and say, "By the help and grace of God, I'm going down there tonight and I'm going to have revival. I'm going to have revival. I've had enough. I've had enough." Praise God. "Well, I'm afraid that I'll die if I get to praising God." What a way to die. "I'm afraid I'll fall over dead." Well, if you do, you'll go to heaven. As Jim Gillis told that big old college football player, when he told Jim Gillis, he said, "Man, I'm going to kill you." Jim Gillis said, "Are you threatening me with heaven, man? Are you threatening me with heaven? If you kill me, I'll go to heaven." I don't know what to do. The devil wants you to be quiet. He wants you to just hold off. You're not able. You can't do it. You can do it, and you are able when you've had enough. Have you had enough? I don't care how much preaching you go and think go. I don't care how much preaching you hear and listen. I don't care how much others try to help. Thank God they are. But when you get full and you decide and you say, "I ain't taking no more like this. If I die, I but die." What a blessing it would be to come in this tabernacle and this pastor stand before that casket here and this congregation seated here. Dearly beloved, we're gathered together here to pay our respects to this great saint of God who on their last few moments and minutes and time, they were praising and worshiping God. And all they've done is stepped out of this bodily form into that glorified, and they're praising Him with a voice that'll never tire and a body that'll never wax old. They'll never have any more problems. They'll never have any more situations. They'll never have any more conditions that will hinder and hamper them. And so they've worshiping God in the eternal worlds and praising Him with that voice that will never cease. What a great way to go. Oh, what a great blessing it is when you've had enough. Hallelujah. Son, thank you for coming. If you've had enough, if you fed up with the way the devil's done you, the way sin's treated you, the way the world has thrown you, if you'll come on tonight, God will help you. God will help you if you'll come on tonight. If you'll come tonight, come on tonight and let's give Him the glory. Would you come tonight and let Him have His way in your life? Come on tonight and worship Him while our brother plays and sings. Would you come tonight? Come now, come now. Hallelujah. I'm coming now.
Praising Him.
I feel it.
I feel
it.
Praising Him. Well, praise Him in the morning.
I'm going to give Him the glory.
Praise Him all day long.
Come on. Come on to the song.
Like praising
Come on to the song. Come on to the song.
Well,
I'm going
to
give Him the
to
glory.
Me, I believe I'll praise Him. Well, He's been so good to me, I believe I'll praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him all day long. Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, He woke me up this morning, I believe I'll praise Him. Well, He woke me up this morning, I believe I'll praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Well, praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Oh, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I believe I'll praise Him. Well, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I believe I'll praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Well, surely saved my soul from hell. I believe I'll praise him. He saved my soul from hell. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel. Well, he woke me up this morning. I believe I'll praise him. He woke me up this morning. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, he healed my body. I believe I'll praise him. He healed my body. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, he give me the victory. I believe I'll praise him. He give me the victory. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Well, he's been so good to me. I believe I'll praise him. He's been so good to me. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, he give me the victory. I believe I'll praise him. Well, he give me the victory. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, he's been so good to me. I believe I'll praise him. He's been so good to me. I believe I'll praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. Oh, he can walk from cloud to cloud. His fingerprints are on the sun. Those big stars that hang on nothing, just more miracles he's done. His breath becomes the wind, the trees, the palm of his majesty. Tell me who but God can do such things as these. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as these. Oh, who but God can do such things as these. He can calm stormy waters, and when he speaks, the demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. He can calm the stormy waters, and when he speaks, the demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Well, he can take a life that's wretched when the world says there's no hope. Cause a drunkard to quit drinking, set an addict free from dope. He can make something from nothing, cause he did just that for me. Tell me who but God can do such things as these. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as these. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as these. Oh, he can calm the stormy waters. Oh, when he speaks, those demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Oh, who but God can do such things as thee. He can calm the stormy waters. Oh, when he speaks, those demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Oh, tell me who
but God can do such things. Who but God? Who but God? Tell me who but God?
Who but God? Who but God? He can calm the stormy waters. When he speaks, those demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. But he can take a life that's wretched when the world says there's no hope. Cause a drunkard to quit drinking, set an addict free from dope. He can make something from nothing, 'cause he did just that for me. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Oh, tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Who but God can do such things as these? Oh, he can calm the stormy waters. When he speaks, those demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as these? Well, tell me who but God can do such things as these?
Who but God? Who but God?
Oh, who but God can do such things as these? Oh, he can calm the stormy waters. When he speaks, the demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Well, he can walk from cloud to cloud. His fingerprints are on the sun. Those big stars that hang on nothing, just more miracles he's done. Well, his breath becomes a wind, the tree, the palm of his majesty. Tell me who but God can do such things as thee. Well, tell me who. Who but God? Who but God?
Who but God?
Who but God? Who but God? He can calm the stormy waters. When he speaks, those demons flee. Tell me who but God can do such things to thee.